you are here. And as we deal with this truth of God's word, I want to do a little, just a little review of where we were a couple weeks ago, and then really deal with a third part. It's our relationship to God's goodness. In fact, there are people that asked me for point three, and some of them I emailed that to them. And so if you have those notes, you can follow along. And for the rest of you, we'll get to point three this morning. We laid the foundation for God's goodness. In fact, as we get started here this morning, in fact, let me read. You are fine there. You do not have to turn to this portion of Scripture. But let me read from Psalm 73, verse 1. And that really is the thought process as this gets started this morning. Truly, Psalm 73, 1, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. And that phrase, God is good. And so as we started a few weeks ago, let me just give you a foundation, and then we'll jump into Nahum. We'll talk through that, and then I'll give you a quick review of where we were. Some of you were not able to be here. That was July 4 weekend. And then we will get into the true challenge this morning, our responsibility and our relationship to God's goodness. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. We establish that God's goodness is beyond man's circumstance. It does not matter what happened to you this week. It does not matter. In fact, let me ask you a question. How many of you this week, as a week ago Sunday, your week started, how many of you would say, this week took a different turn, and even a turn a little more negative in my life than I thought would happen? There's some things that came up. There's some things happened. There's some maybe some struggles or difficulties. How many would say my week did not happen the way I thought it was going to? How many this morning? Many hands this morning. Why is that? Because we live life, don't we? There are things that come in our life. We have trials and struggles. All those things happen. That takes place in our life, but does that mean your week took a different turn? Phil just sang up here a few minutes ago. There sits Phil with that nice gray boot on his foot. Because that happened to Phil a couple weeks ago, fractured his ankle. Phil, let me ask this question. Is God good? Absolutely. Yes, sir. God is good. And so matter our circumstances, so to our first point, God is good. And God is good. And we have established this, that he's good all the time. Not only is God's goodness beyond our circumstance, but God's goodness is beyond my comprehension. See, I'm limited in my goodness and even my understanding of it because I am that. I am a mere human. And so I have to accept by faith God's goodness and that God has his very best designed and planned in my soul and in my heart. So it's beyond our circumstance. It's beyond our comprehension. And then we establish it's beyond my contempt. It doesn't matter that I'm a worthless sinner. It doesn't matter that I was born with a sin nature. God's goodness reached through my sin and saved my soul. And so it doesn't matter my evilness, because my heart, the Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9, is what? Desperately wicked. Who can even know that? And so that establishes our thought process to this goodness of God. Now that you're in Nahum chapter 1, verse number 7, we establish this verse. I just want to read through it again to give us an understanding of this verse. Nahum chapter 1, verse 7, the Lord is good. He is a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. The Lord is good. He is bountiful. He is gracious. He's kind. He's cheerful. He's generous toward us. He gives us the welfare. He gives us the gladness of his heart, his soul to us. So it says there, the Lord is good. He is a stronghold. He is our fortified place. He is our defense. He is our rock. So God is good in that he is our rock. He is our defense. He is our fortification. And then it says in the day of trouble, in the day of, that word trouble means tightness, in the day that we just talked about adversity, your week, some of you did not go the way that you had planned. Maybe some discouragements, maybe some disappointments along the way, maybe some bad news, maybe something happened within your home or within your family or people around you, or heavy burdens that were put on your soul from even what somebody else may be going through that is close to you and you're troubled for them. But even in our day of trouble, in our distress, in our anguish, in our affliction, in whatever tribulation, and then he says, and he knoweth. He acknowledges, he understands, and he cares. You ever get to that point in your life? Who cares? Does anybody really? Does anybody really care? Does God even, maybe you've questioned, does God even see me? Does God see my frailty? Does God see my hurt? Does God see my disappointment? Does he not know that I've had enough? Does he not know that I have borne all the burdens that I dare to bear right now? But yet in that, what does this verse say? God is still good. And so we are to remind ourselves of his goodness. And then it says, then he knoweth. He acknowledges, he understands, he cares, them that trust. Those that flee to his protection, those that confide in him, those that go to him. So God demonstrates, we made this comment, his kindness to us in ways that he loves us and he draws us to himself. He doesn't just do kind or good things, but he is good. God just doesn't show us kindness. It is within his nature that he is kind. And really what that did, that brought us to our first point. And we're not going to, there's just, I think, going to be a quick reminder up on the screen. We're not going to preach through these. God's goodness is a relationship. We established, first of all, it's a relationship to himself. And we talked about God is good in his very nature, who his very character is. God is good in relation to his attributes. We talked about him being limitless and him being righteous, that God is perfect. He is unchangeable. He is immutable. He is enduring. His goodness is enduring. It is everlasting. So God cannot act outside of any other one of his character traits, any one of his attributes. See, God is good within his mercy. God is good within his love. Oh, we love that. But God is also good within his justice system. God is also good within his holiness. God is also good within his righteousness. God cannot act outside of his other attributes. He is good. And perfectly good. He is enduring. He's everlasting. And then, the last point under point one, we talked about God cannot be a respecter of persons in his nature. The Lord is good to all. John 3:16 is still in the Bible. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall have what? Everlasting life. See, the all there. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. And we talked about this point. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Peter said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. See, we struggle with this, and why do we struggle with this? Because we are a respecter of persons, aren't we? If I can illustrate this morning, all these guys are like, please don't pick me. I'll tell you what, can I use you for a second? Okay. Now, this nice man, in James chapter 2, this is illustrated. And I'm going to spend a minute here because I think as Christians, we get bogged down, even in the area of God's goodness, because God is good and has no respecter of persons. And we are respecter of persons. So Brother Gary here, okay, Gary is a very, 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 by the way, this is all going to be hypothetical, okay? Very rich man, right, Gary? Have you seen the car? Have you seen the car the man drives? And so what's James chapter 2? Here's what we would do. When Gary comes in, what will we do? Hey, Gary, come here, Gary. You come right up front. You don't need to sit back by those people. You come right up here. Nope, not this second. We're going to sit right up front, okay? Because somebody paid a lot of money for these seats, Brother Gary. By the way, yesterday morning I was walking. I was reading Luke chapter, I think, 14. And you know what? Jesus, if you follow that parable in there, Jesus instructed them. They were talking about what some of you are doing. You're inviting people to your feast, and you're putting them to the royal spot at your table. And why are you doing that? Because you want to get something out of them. And if you follow along that parable, remember what he says? You would be better off to go out and get somebody maimed. Go out and get somebody that is not wealthy. Go out and get somebody where you truly can help, because that's where your real value and your real worth is going to be. But what do? We focus on what Gary's going to get me. Gary, I heard you had season tickets to the Colts, right? This is hypothetical, right? So, play along, okay? So what's Gary, what's he doing? Hey, I'm going to be his friend because I want to go to Colts game. Not on Sunday morning, of course, okay? We'll go after church. But what, boy, and Gary, I'm going to ride in your car, man. That's a really cool car. I know it's a minivan, but it's for pretend it's a cool car. So what are we doing? See, we have trouble saying, see, God is good to all because my flesh, you know where my goodness goes? What am I going to get out of it? Well, am I going to be nice to somebody? Listen, that's using relationships. And by the way, can I say that is not love? That is not love. So Brother Gary, we ushered him right to the front. And this is, in your name, your name who? Have you ever come to this church? Yeah, okay. Do you have kids? Oh yeah, they're brats, aren't they? Okay, tell you what, we're going to do. I'll tell you what, you know what? You're in the wrong seat, okay? You need to come back here because you don't drive as nice a car as Gary drives. In fact, you can sit back here in the cheap seats, okay? Because what does he do? He doesn't drive the car that Gary drives because Dirk's not going to get me anywhere. He's not gaining me anything. And I know this, I'm stopping here for a minute, but this is important for our church. It doesn't matter who you are. When you walk through those doors or anybody walks through those doors, God is good to every person. And we are not to be respecter of persons. Whether it's Gary with his cold sticking and his big money, or it's him with his little boys, okay? They're good boys, by the way. Hypothetical we're playing, remember? Okay, so here's the point. The point is, if the Bible says God is good to all and I am to be Christ-like and Jesus died for everybody on this planet, then therefore what am I to be? Good to all too. So guys, you can go back to your cheap seats and you come up to your expensive seat. All right. And I know I spend extra time on that, but guys, as Christians, we get bogged down there. Or we're the ones everybody else gets, everybody else is favored, and we lose focus of the love I'm supposed to have because I'm worried about who's getting what. That's no place in Christianity. And that is no place at Cross Point Baptist Church because we are to take the example of Christ and be loving and to be caring. So we talked about that God is good and he is good to all. And that brought us to, and the reason we talked about that is because God in his goodness to all reaches out of the portals of heaven down to us on this earth. And his relationship now, because of his character, he brings that relationship to you and I. God's goodness is in relationship to man. And we talked about that. God is good to forgive. God is good in the midst of trials. And that took us to Nahum 1:7. God is good to keep his promises. God is good to satisfy man's longing soul or thirsting soul. God is good enough for the duration of man's life. And then we ended this point, and this is where we're going to transition this morning to really the point that we want to get through today. God is good to draw man to himself. God reaches down from heaven and he draws us. I was reading this morning, as Jesus is walking through the city, he looks up in a tree and here is a man. And what did Jesus do with Zacchaeus in that tree? He moved toward him. He went to him. What did Jesus do to the woman at the well? He moved toward her. He went to them. He ministered to them. Do you know where he's going? Do you know where he's about to go? This goes to our last point. Do you know where he's about to go eat with? I can't believe he would do that. He is. Does he not know? Does he not know who Zacchaeus is? Has he not read the latest? Has he not been in the, they didn't have newspapers back there or social media, but has he not been online? Does he not know the problems with this guy? And what did Jesus do? Jesus moved toward him and in his goodness. In fact, Romans 2:4, "Oh, despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." Not only do we have to move God, but what does God first of all do? He draws us to himself. And when he does that, then the choice is ours and the responsibility is ours. And that's really where we're going to start this morning, is now in God's goodness. We've established God is good in his nature. God is good in response to not only his nature, but to his character and to all of his attributes. And then with that, God is good to man. So now what am I to do with God's goodness? I have it here. It's wonderful. It's great. God shines upon me. It's obvious that God is good to me. And it doesn't mean that everything that happens is what I would call good. We talked about that before. But what is now my responsibility with what God gives me in his goodness? So let's begin this morning. What is my response to God's goodness? Psalm 31:19 says, "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought them that trust in thee." So point number one, if you want to take notes this morning under man's response to God's goodness, number one or letter A, however you're doing it, or a bullet point, you can do whatever you want. Okay, if you want to use a Roman numeral, have fun. A or one, God's goodness produces trust. See, I am trusting not just in his goodness, but because his goodness is right with every one of his attributes, I am trusting the whole of who he is. I'm trusting all of God. I'm not trusting God, "God, just give me a good day." Because God's definition of a good day may be different than your definition of a good day. That's why, "God, give me the day that you desire me to have. And if it's not the day I was planning on having, give me the grace and the strength to go through it. Give me the power to deal with the difficulty. Give me the power to deal with the flat tire. Give me the power to deal with whatever happens in your home or takes place." In fact, Sunday night, I get a call. We just finished the deacon's meeting, getting ready for church. And my wife says, "Can you come get us?" I said, "Why?" And you know how your mind goes? It just all of a sudden, okay, there's an accident. Something's going on. What's wrong? You know? Well, it was simple. It was not a big deal. But the spring on the garage door decided it would snap. And so guess what? They couldn't get, I know my wife and my daughter have muscles, but they couldn't get the garage door open, and they're afraid to touch anything because they didn't want to make it worse. End of the world? No. Setback? Sure. Little cost? Yeah. But you know what? Is God still good? Yeah. It's a thing. And listen, if God wants your spring to break, by the way, guess whose it is anyway? Because what we have is not our own, for we're bought with a price. So if God wanted his spring to break, right? Then God, you had a reason for having your spring break. Now, can I tell you? After the man came and fixed, he was out a few weeks ago fixing something. Or that's when he came back, but he came back this week because I called him. So he came back Monday. They fixed it. And so I gave him some water bottles, if I could segue here a minute, with our church name on them. And so he came back. I was having a little bit of noise Friday. So he came back, and I said, "Hey, can you just adjust a few things?" He said, "Sure." He's a young man, and has a girlfriend, and we started talking a little bit the other day. So I sent him those water bottles home or back with him on with their church logo on them on Monday. And so Friday he came back. I said, "You need more water." He said, "No, I'm fine." He says, "Tell you what, I took those church water bottles. I took them to the shop. I put them on the shelf. And so when everybody opens it, I said, I'm telling nobody they can't drink that water. It's there to promote your church." And he said, "I'm advertising your church." I said, "Well, I appreciate that. But," I said, "that's not why I gave it to you." He says, "No, but I don't want anybody to drink those." And so in that Friday, he just tweaked a couple things on that garage door that I was trying to be a happy customer. And afterwards, he got all done. He got ready to go, shook my hand. And he goes, "Let me ask you a question." And it was all about the Bible. And he just question. Invite him to church, praying that he comes. He has a place to sit with my wife and I when he does. You know what? I'm not saying every time you have a broken spring or water heater that goes out or flat tire that God's going to give you an opportunity to witness. But I look back at this opportunity and say, "Hey, I thank God for that opportunity." The spring when it broke. See, God has a reason. And we may never know the reason to your broken spring. You may not know. And it doesn't matter if you ever do. But when God does show you why he broke your spring, you better acknowledge that and the goodness of God in that. And see God in that. And that's just one simple illustration. But the point is, God's goodness produces trust. My trust is in him. My strength is not in myself. My strength is not in manipulating a situation or not worrying it through. It is going to get answered whether I am consumed about it or not. God is going to be good all the way through it. So God's goodness produces trust. "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is that man that" what? You know this? "Trusteth in him." Do you this morning? This is a very applicable point of this message.
And that's why it's at the end. But do you trust God in his goodness and for his goodness? So number one, God's goodness produces trust. Number two, the point I take out of Psalm 145, verse 7, they shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. Number two, God's goodness is communicated by the believer. Do you share God's goodness? Do you share the goodness of God? Do you proclaim the goodness of God? Do you communicate it unto the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness? I will mention thy loving kindness of the Lord. What do you mention? Do you mention negatives more than positives? We'll talk about that here in a minute. Do you mention the goodness of God? Do you mention the goodness of God? Number three, God's goodness brings rejoicing. This is slowly climaxing, which is great. 2 Corinthians 6:41. Now therefore, arise, O Lord God, into thy resting place, thou in the ark of thy strength. Let thy priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and let thy saints rejoice in goodness. Boy, that rejoicing, that showing your joy. Do you show the joy of Jesus? Think of the chorus. Let the joy of Jesus put a what? Smile upon your face. Do you show God's goodness through your countenance of how great God is? Psalm 145, 7, they shall abundantly utter the memory of the great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. What did we sing this morning? Great is thy faithfulness. God, you are great. God, you are faithful. That is one attribute of God that we sing about, but God is good. God, you are great, and we sing of his mercies. We talked about this morning, it was talked about in the Sunday school class I was in about technology. Instead of always putting the buds in and letting the music flow in, let the music flow through your soul and flow out. Sing praises. I know you may not have the greatest voice. You may have the shower voice. And I love showers because supposedly they say if you sing in the shower, it's because you like the way you sound. And it's because if you have tile or whatever it is, it reverberates and you sound really, really good. I don't know if it's your own recording booth or whatever it is. But the point is, we're to sing praise to God. Do you ever find yourself? I remember as a kid mowing, I'd be out on the mower singing. And when you're singing on the mower, you're singing over the what? The engine, over the noise. And so you're singing, you can barely hear yourself, but boy, the neighbors hear everything that's coming out. It may not always be good, but you know what you're doing? You're rejoicing. Does your family hear you rejoicing? And that brings us to our next point, point number four. God's goodness produces praise and thankfulness. We're going to spend some time here. God's goodness produces praise and thankfulness. Psalm 135 says this at verse 3, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name. This is great. It says, for it is pleasant. Do you like pleasant things? How many have any type or form of rose near their house? Raise your hand. You have any rose? There is no better smell on this planet, okay, other than baking brownies. But there's no other smell on this planet than drinking in. Have you ever, first of all, looked at the neighbors, made sure nobody's watching you, but have you ever just sat there and just breathed in the smell, that aroma, that sweet smell of that rose? How many have ever? It's okay. Just do like a hand, half hand up. Okay, good. Okay? Because it is kind of weird. You're going, sniff it. But that smell, what does it say here? It is pleasant. Not everything in life that God wants for us is unpleasant. I think there's some people that think, hey, if I'm miserable, I'm just making it through for God. We'll get through life. God doesn't want that for us. We have a wrong view of God, don't we? God wants it to be pleasant. He wants our walk with him to be a breath, if you will, of fresh air. He is good. We're to sing praises to him. Psalm 145, 7. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. Oh, give thanks, 1 Chronicles 16, 34. unto the Lord, for he is good, his mercy endureth forever. Psalm 107:1 repeats that. Psalm 107:8, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. Let me ask you this question this morning. Was complaint on your tongue this morning, or has it already been on your tongue this morning? And you say, Pastor Dan, we're in church. We wouldn't complain. I hope not. Or is praise on your tongue this morning? See, I think here's what we do, and I see myself doing this. I look at the end of the day, you know, yeah, there's a few things, but my thanking God was outweighed my not thanking him or my complaint, so therefore I'm still to the good. Listen, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We preach all or nothing so many times, but when it comes to certain things like praise and complaint, well, I have a right to complain. I have a right to share my opinion. By the way, not every opinion's complaint, but so many times aren't our opinions wrapped up in a complaint? Sure they are. Some of you here this morning, you're freezing cold. Some of you are hot. I get it. It's a fact. We're not complaining. It's a fact. But listen, but your complaint becomes a problem when you share it, when you are negative with it. Hey, we all have different body types. We all have different blood flowing through us in different ways. I get it. So what do? We praise God that we have air conditioning. And we praise God we have heat. Do you complain more? And ask yourself this question this morning, just as you sit there. Have I already this morning just uttered complaint? No matter what it is. Have I been a complainer? Nobody likes complainy pants people, right? I don't know if complainy pants is a word, it is now. But nobody likes that. We don't, none of us want to be around those people, but boy, we often give it, right? So do we praise? And I think here's what happens. When we have a tendency to complain, what that does, it takes us away from God's goodness, and ultimately, we're questioning God's goodness. Because this isn't working out my way, and this isn't happening the way I think it should. So therefore, God, somewhere in there, you've messed up. And I know none of us would verbally say, God, you made a mistake, but often in our complaining, it's almost that we are making that comment and that statement. Let me read this. I've read this before. It's one of my favorite quotes. It's by Paul David Tripp. The universal language of sinners in this broken world is complaint. When you're at the center, when you feel entitled, when your desires dominate your heart, and when in reality it is all about you, you will have much to complain about. When I make life and everything in it about me and not my God, then I am not going to see his goodness, and I'm only going to see the difficulties and the failures and the problems that come in my life. Would to God we'd have an attitude and a spirit of worship and praise ever on my tongue. What's the Bible say? May thy praise or your praise be continually in my mouth. Do we do that? Is it continually in our mouth? Do we praise or do we complain? Next point. God's goodness brings not only rejoicing, not only praising him, not only recognizing his greatness and his goodness and rejoicing, but God's goodness brings satisfaction. Let me read Psalm 65:4. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even in the holy temple. God's goodness, when I look around at what I have and what I may not have, I get to see God's goodness in that. Everything I have, see, this world is seeking for pleasure. It was brought out again in the technology study this morning. The noise of this world, always trying to fill a void. This world that does not know Jesus is empty. And if you have Jesus Christ, you are full. You have every bit of the power of God, the Holy Spirit working in you, and that is our satisfaction. Our satisfaction is in Jesus Christ. It is not in our things. if your thing that you are living for has four wheels and you drive it and it crashes, then yes, you are dissatisfied. Yes, you are frustrated. Yes, you are angry when it crashes. But if you realize that it's a gift from God, then you've got another one if God is in it. Oh, it may not be exactly what you like or what you want, but it's what God would have for you. And so many times we get dissatisfied with what we have. So are you in your life satisfied with where God has you? Are you satisfied with what you have? See, those are great questions to ask. With what God has given me or what God has not given me, the satisfaction. See, my satisfaction is in Jesus Christ. It's not in materialism. What is your life? You shall gain the whole world and lose your own soul. It's void, isn't it? Isn't it empty? God, you satisfy. God, I see today in your goodness that God, you are good and you are powerful. Everything I have, God, comes from you. God, you bring satisfaction. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with thy goodness of thy house, even of thy temple. In this world that wants more and more, in this world that's noisy, that is broken, God gives us satisfaction. If you're here this morning and you don't know about that satisfaction, you are seeking it through things. You're seeking it through accomplishment. You're seeking it through feelings and emotions in your life. The Bible's very, very clear. The only thing that is going to fill that void is your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus as your Savior. If nobody's told you that Jesus was God's Son, and God's Son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross, why did he do that? Because I have a sin nature. Because within myself, I'm not good. Within myself, I'm evil. I am born with that sin nature. My parents did not have to teach me how to lie. My parents did not have to teach me how to disobey. It was all part of my sin nature, just like it was yours. And so we understand, don't we, that because of that hole in that void that I have and that I am not good, I've got to have something else. The only thing that's going to fill that void is Jesus Christ. It's through the death of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross, God's only Son. And then 3 days later, if you know the story, you're already ahead of me because Jesus rose from the dead. He gave his victory over sin, but ultimately he gave his victory over death. And that's why we'll live with him eternally. And let me tell you, in that alone, just that one point, if there's nothing else that we've heard today, understand, just in that one point, God is good. God is good. If that's all we have this morning is our salvation, and we didn't have all this other understanding of even our responsibility, understand that God is good, that he would send, by the way, a holy, perfect God would send his perfect Son to die on the cross so we can have everlasting life. God is good. And if you can't rejoice in that today because you don't know, in just a few minutes when we have our invitation, there are those that would love to take the Word of God and show you how you can be saved. In fact, some of you are visiting. Maybe there's somebody you're visiting with and they know Jesus. Just maybe tug them and just say, hey, can we go talk? And there are quiet rooms all around here where you can go. Maybe it's even after the service. Maybe it's approaching one of us pastors. Because listen, we want you to experience God's goodness today. And believer in Jesus Christ, you're sitting here this morning with whatever burdens in your soul or on your heart, God wants you to experience his goodness. So God's goodness brings satisfaction. And the only way we can be satisfied truthfully is through the blood of Jesus Christ. And let's end with this morning. God's goodness in the believer's life is fruit. God's goodness is in the believer's life is fruit. Let me read Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's joy. It's peace, it's long-suffering, it's gentleness, it's goodness that we're talking about, it's faith. Truly, verse that we started with, Psalm 73:1, God is good to Israel, even to such are as of a clean heart. Here's what we need to do as believers. We take that goodness that God has put within us because of his salvation, which we do not have on our own, because he reached out, he moved toward us, we accepted him as our personal Savior. What does he want from us? He wants fruit. He wants a clean heart. He wants a pure heart. He's wanting us to live love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, this point of goodness in our life. Fruit produces in the believer's life. So let me ask you this. Are you producing, or if you want to say reproducing, fruit? Here's just a couple things to ask. How about this week in your reactions? Are you producing goodness? Were your reactions filled with goodness? Were they filled with hate? Were they filled with frustration? Were they filled with anger? Were they filled with bitterness? What about your reactions? Was your reactions one of God's goodness showing through you in fruit? Were you bearing the fruit of goodness is a simple question this morning in your reactions. How about in your dealings, your business dealings? I know I've said this before. When I go somewhere, I'm checking out. I want to be the best Christian customer they've ever seen in their life. I don't want to be crabby pants. I don't want to sit there and argue over a price and blow up. I want to be good. I want to be good in my response. I may be the only Jesus they ever see. I may be it. I may never see my garage door technician guy. He goes, if I come to church, you're going to introduce me as your garage door guy. I said, okay. Craig Kidd. You know what? You know, it's making a weird noise. You know, those rollers aren't quite right. Hey, I didn't like the way this was installed. Hey, could you... Would that have gotten me anywhere? No. I'm not illustrating myself. That's not my point. My point is this. Every one of us every day have those opportunities. Are we showing the fruit of goodness in our responses, in our dealings? Are we showing the goodness through our thoughts, through what we're thinking, through what we think about other people? Do you often negatively think about a person or positively? When somebody's name is mentioned, are you like, oh, brother, oh, them? That's negative. That's not good. It's not good. See, we're to have the fruit of goodness. See, this is how we respond. Oh, it's great that God is good, and it's great that God is in touch with all of his other attributes, and it's great that God is naturally good. But how about in our response to other people? Not only your thought life, but how about just your good spirit, your good attitude? Do you have an attitude of goodness? Do people say, I want to be around that person? Or do they say, he's always complaining, or they're always negative, or they've always got a problem? Or do you have a spirit, an attitude of positive, of goodness? And I'm not preaching just good feelings and being all positive this morning. That's not the point. The point is, do you have the fruit of goodness in your life? One more. Do you have the fruit of good language, good speech? You have the fruit of being pleasant, talked about earlier. Are your words kind? Are they good? Are they gossipy? Are they nosy? Are they anybody else's business? Are your words good? Are they wholesome? Are they a tree, if you will, of life? Are they a good thing? See, when we apply this, and now we apply it to the fruits of our life, it takes on a different look. So let me ask you the question this morning. How are you doing in the area of goodness? Oh, yes, we're going to praise God because he is good, and I trust we do. We praise God that we're going to have orchestra eventually and that we're going to have people singing in the choir. Those are things to praise God about. Those are good things. But how about us personally? Do we show God's goodness? You know who knows? If you're married, your spouse knows. Parents, kids know, kids, parents know, friends know. Often people say, hey, that person, I have a friend that used to say it this way, they're good people. You know what? Within ourselves, we are not. I think ultimately, you know what he's saying? Those people walk in the Spirit of God. So let me ask you, are you walking in the Spirit of God? Are you spiritual or are you carnal? Are you carnal in your lack of goodness? How you respond, things you say, hurtfulness, and that's real life. Don't want good words, don't want a good spirit, a good reaction. So yes, God is great, God is good. God does not just have goodness, God is good. And we're thankful for that in his character. We're thankful that God reaches out of the portals of heaven and he shows his goodness to mankind. But then how about in response to God's goodness? Doing good deeds? You're reaching out to others? You're ministering to others? It's been said there's two types of people. There's givers and takers. And I'm afraid way too many Christians, oh, we're good at taking. God give me. God bless me. God, I'll take it. God, thank you. But we're not good givers. We become selfish in this gift of God's goodness. Share the gift of goodness. Share the fruit of God's goodness. I trust that you do. I trust that I do today. Trust that I do in responses. Trust that I do in my life and my Christian walk. That'd be a great challenge for all of us, that we live the fruit of the goodness of God in our lives. If you could, heads bowed, eyes closed, let's close with a word of prayer this morning. We will have an invitation time. And that'll be a time where if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, and I mentioned earlier, if there's somebody here that does not know Jesus, let me tell you, understand God's goodness. You know, there are people that are raised that only see God as just and only see God. They don't see his mercy. They don't see his love. They don't see his goodness. They see a tyrant. Listen, that is not the God that I serve. God loves, God cares, God is good. God wants the best for every one of our lives. God is good. Even when I am not, even in your sinful condition, even before I accepted Christ as my Savior, God pursued, and God in his goodness pursues us. And maybe you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus as your Savior. Let me encourage you. There's somebody here that can take the Word of God, and they can show you how you can have the goodness of God. I didn't say your life was going to be mistake-free. I didn't say that your life was going to be problem solved. We live life. Life is real. Life is not nice. Life is unfair. Life is ugly. Life is mean. I get that. But God is good. So maybe you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus as your Savior. Let me encourage you. That time of invitation, there'll be somebody here at the front that can take God's word and show you. Maybe there's a friend sitting with you or near you. They'd be happy. You just make the move and they'll come right with you. Maybe you're here this morning as a believer in Jesus Christ. Maybe you're struggling just with something in your life that you're failing to see or you're struggling. You know doctrinally that God is good, but you're just struggling with the acceptance. You're just struggling with getting over your own problems and difficulties and seeing it. Let me encourage you this morning, whether it's there in your seat or coming forward, just give it to God. And then maybe it's in this area of fruit. Maybe this morning, maybe as a church congregation, we would just come forward and say, God, let me show the fruit of goodness this week. You never know what will happen because of the fruit of goodness that you can show. Yes, God has given us his goodness. This is a great attribute. Yes, he's given it to you and I. But now what am I doing with it? This is the practical side of it. This is maybe the not so easy side of it. What am I going to do with the goodness that God gives me?